Certainly appreciate this church. 1987, we came to know our dear brother, and my wife taught here in the school for a while. I don't know how many years. We don't know. It doesn't matter. But she taught here, and my boys went to school here. The teachers will never forget Sam and TJ. There's reasons for that, definitely. And Brother Houghton, and never forget him on the basketball team. And I remember when Sam got kicked off the court in a big regional game up in Bowling Green. I don't know what he did wrong. I don't either. I don't think my boy did a thing wrong. I really don't. I think it was somebody else's fault. I really do. It sure, certainly wasn't his fault, would it be? Well, for 35 years, I pastored the Lord's churches. And I believe that the church is the Lord's. He built his church during his ministry, and it's his church, amen? Belongs to him. And so for those 35 years, I pastored churches, thought that's what I would do the rest of my life. And back in February, the Lord began to work on my heart, tug on my heart, draw me toward a ministry to seafarers, men who sail across the waves, who come from countries all over the world, those who don't have a Bible, like the Chinese who are forbidden to have the Word of God, who are persecuted, but yet we can go on board a ship with Chinese seamen and give them a Bible and watch them as their faces light up. Not only are they holding the first Bible they've ever owned, they're holding the first Bible they've ever seen. Never had one before. And so we're excited about that. And just recently I was on a Hindu ship and went on board this ship full of Hindus. The captain was asleep. That's good. That's good, because probably the captain would have told me, get off my ship. Because they have the authority to do that. But we're able to get on because of a little card that the federal government issues us that allows us to get on board ships. I'm a transportation worker. Did you know that? I have a card called a TWIC card, Transportation Worker Identification Card. A lady in a meeting I was in said, did you say a TWIT card? I said, no ma'am, a TWIC card, not a TWIT. But I have a TWIC card, and it has a little radio transmitter on that card. They know where I'm at while I'm on board and all those different things. But I don't care if they know where I'm at while I'm there, as long as they let me give Bibles out and tracts and let me talk to the sailors and give them the gospel. And that's what we're doing. And we're excited. Amen. What a great thing to reach the world one ship at a time. The fastest access to the world is by cargo ship. No faster way. I can be in 4 or 5 countries in one day by going on their ships, giving them Bibles, talking to them about the Lord, giving them the gospel. People ask me, and I'll very quickly, I'm excited about this. People ask me, they say, what do you tell a Hindu? What do you tell a Buddhist? I tell them Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. I give them the gospel. I don't argue about their religion. I tell them about what Christ did for sinners. I believe the only hope is Christ. Christ who died, was buried, and who rose again. We must give them Jesus. That's what we must do. Why must we give them Jesus? Because man, in his natural state, is depraved. Man is depraved. Now, I don't know if you believe in it or not, but I believe in the total depravity of man. Man is totally, absolutely depraved. Man is without hope if he doesn't have Christ. For there is no other hope than the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There's no sweeter frame than that, amen? There's nothing better than that, than Jesus. 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 sweetest name I know. There's no other name to proclaim other than the name of Jesus. Oh, preacher, don't you know we need to give the social gospel? No, friends, we need to give the pure, unadulterated gospel. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What name? The name of Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. No other name. In the book of Romans chapter 5 and in verse number 12. And I want to speak this morning on total depravity. I believe man's depraved. Hey, I have been to the mall. Man's depraved. Once in a while, we're down on the beaches more now than ever, but being along the coast, man is depraved. I am in the line at the grocery store, and I see the magazine rack. Man is depraved. I believe it's time that we preach the old doctrines of the faith. We heard about that yesterday. The need for the preaching of the old time doctrine. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All. That's A-double-L. All have sinned. That brings about physical death. That's why we're looking forward to heaven. Because, friends, this old physical death's not going to pass us by. One of these days you'll read that Brother Fayard's dead. But I'll be more alive than ever. I'll have a new body. I'll have a new home. It'll be wonderful. But death is coming. Why? Because of sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's separation from God. When Jesus Christ hung upon the cross, when Jesus Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered my hell. He was separated from the Father. Some say that was just, a picture of something, but it wasn't really that God forsook him. Let me tell you something. God had to turn his back. Because sin is a terrible thing. And sin has to be seen once again as exceedingly sinful. It is a terrible thing. Wickedness. Ungodliness. And oh, dear friend, think about your own mind. Think about your own thoughts. Think about what you battle. If you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost of God living within you. But yet you do have problems. Why? Because there's that old part of man. Oh, I've got a new man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I am a new man in Christ. But let me tell you something. There's something I'm dragging around once in a while. You know what that is? That's an old man. It's that old man. The wages of sin is death. Christ suffered my hell. Listen, you'll suffer. You will suffer. Hell and eternity if you're not saved. Eternity in hell. Forever in hell. If you're not born again. The wages of sin is death. The price has to be paid one way or the other. Amen? Either by you or in a substitute. And I'm so glad I have a substitute. There's one who paid the price for me. He died in my stead. He paid it all. Do you like that old hymn, Jesus paid it all? All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The wages of sin is death. But, you like that little word? But,
the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go on board those ships and I say, I have a gift. One word that everybody in all the world understands is free. Amen. They understand free. And I have a gift for them. And we have the little pins, and some of you have got your little pin, an anchor pin. And we try to give them a little card and give them a track in their language with the anchor pin. They love to get a little gift. We love to bring them things. But most of all, we want to bring them the Bible. We want to give them the Word of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift. Is the world of religion mixed up? They don't know what a gift is. They say, well, it's Christ plus baptism. Is it? No. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. The gift of God. I got the wrong one. I was hoping to get a Eureka Law. And I got something else. Y'all ever done that? Let me see. Here's Ricola. Right there. Got a tickle. Y'all ever get a tickle in your throat? I'll put Ricola in there. Ricola! The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Isn't it wonderful we have a gift? And listen, it doesn't cost us. It costs God. It cost God His Son. God gave His Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace are you saved through faith. I remember when I was born again that Wednesday night at East Howard Baptist Church. I grew up in a Josephite Mormon home. And just after I'd been saved, I went out to my uncle George's house. He was an elder in the Mormon church, so I went out there and he was sitting in one of those metal chairs. You know, it looks like a metal shell chair. You know, everybody had those. They're coming back retro. Save your old ties and suits, fellas. They'll come back. He was sitting out there and I went to my Uncle George, I sat down, I said, Uncle George, I've been saved. He said, so I hear. And I said, I have but one question for you. Can you answer this for me? And you know what? I learned more scripture right after I was saved than I've ever learned in the rest of my life. God just helped me to memorize back then. I'm having a hard time now. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I said, explain that to me. He got up, walked to the back of the house, went in the door, never came out, and he died and went to hell. He was trusting in his good works. I went to his funeral, and they told about how good he was and what a great man he was, and all the things he had done for the church. Let me tell you something. Christ did for the church what needed to be done. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen? The gift. And oh, we could stay there a while. But there is this thing of depravity. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. Kids used to be taught that in school. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. We all sinned in Adam, and it permeated us. Man is corrupt, and man is dead in trespasses and sins. You believe that? He's dead. Hey, I believe he's graveyard dead. Amen? He's graveyard dead. And so man has to be given life. We call that an old-fashioned Baptist doctrine of regeneration. There has to be a work of regeneration. How's that going to come? Well, the wind blow it where it listeth. So the wind has to blow. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. There is nobody saved outside the working of the Holy Spirit of God. There must be a moving of the Holy Ghost. There has to be a moving of God. That's why we don't believe, I don't, that it's, you run up to somebody, you want to go to heaven? Yes, I want to go to heaven. You want to go real quick? You want to, yes, I want to go real quick. All right, here you go. One, two, three, pray after me. Mm-mm. You can notch your gun. But friends, it takes the Holy Spirit, not you, to convert somebody. That's the work of God. God, the Holy Spirit, does that. So there must be regeneration. Why must there be generation? Because of spiritual death. We lost our generator in Adam. When Adam died, we died. We died in Adam. Remember what it said in Genesis? The day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. You know what Adam did the day he ate of the fruit thereof? He died. You say, wait a minute, preacher. He lived to be 900 X amount, whatever, years old. Have a hard time. I believe it was Methuselah lived to be 969. And Adam was just short of that. Who knows the answer? 930? All right, good. 930? All right. 930 years. Amen. He lived to be 930 years old. He didn't die right then. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Spiritually. The day that he ate, he's our federal head. And the day that he ate of that fruit, he died and we died. You know why we're in the shape we're in today? Because of him. I want to talk to him when I get to heaven. Really? We're dead in Him. So we must be regenerated. Why? Because we're dead. How can we be regenerated? Well, by the gracious work of the regenerator. Now, Titus 3:5. And I love this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. How about that word, mercy? But according to His mercy, He saved us. By what? A lot of preachers stop about that. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing. Renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, we lost it. It had to be renewed. Amen? Mercy. You know what mercy is? Not getting what you deserve. You deserve hell, but because of regeneration, because of mercy, you don't get it. Some years ago, I was driving up out of Mississippi, coming into Kentucky, and made it through Tennessee real good. Got up into Kentucky, got on Highway 51, headed to Clinton, Kentucky, to see Brother Charles Blair. Some of you might know Brother Blair. And I was driving up to see my old Greek professor, driving up to see Brother Blair. And as I came up the highway, the Kentucky State Patrol saw me. And that was okay that they saw me. It's just that I was like a flash when they saw me. And so he hit his blue lights and I got off the road. He went and caught somebody else, came back and got me because he'd say, get away. And I waited, bud. I did. And then I had a preacher friend with me, Brother T. Hill. And when the patrolman came around and looked at our Mississippi tag, I said, we in heap of trouble, boy. Saw that Mississippi tag. He came around the door. And they don't always ask him, but he said, what are y'all doing here? I said, I'm going up to see Brother Charles Blair. He was my Greek professor, and I'm getting him to do a radio intro for me. And that from a radio program. You know Brother Blair? I said, yes, sir. Boy, that helped me too. He said, I like him. He said, he helped us. The fellas drove up in his yard and that, and we were chasing them, and he called, we got them. He said, you know what? He said, because you know Brother Blair, I'm going to just give you a warning. Now you deserve a kick.
Yes, sir.
I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to give you a warning. Now what's mercy?
Yeah, that's it.
Not getting what you deserve. And you know what? I get heaven because Jesus paid my ticket. He paid my penalty. He took care of that. Amen? Now, how bad is man's depravity? How bad is it? Bad, pretty bad. I'll tell you what it is. It's total. It's total. Hey, I don't believe like Jimmy Carter does a little spark down in there. Just need the flame to, you know, just stir it up a little bit. Blow on it. There's nothing there. It's dead. It's dead. Man is completely dead. Because depravity affects every part of us. That's why you've got problems with your thinking. That's why you got problems with your walking and your talking. Amen. Because of depravity. It seeps into every crevice of our life. It's there. Now go with me to Romans chapter 3. And verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And I want us to notice some things here very quickly. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. You know these verses, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many are not righteous?
Not one.
Not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Why? Because of depravity. There is none righteous. No, not one. When it says as it is written, you better believe it, buddy. It's God's word. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 23. What does it mean to come short? It means to miss the bullseye. We can't hit the bullseye. People say, I'm a little better than you, but you can't hit the bullseye. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that understandeth. I want you to notice that. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I remember when I began to seek God. Let me tell you something. You saw Him and He saw you.
That's right.
Because you can't seek Him unless He seeks you. Now listen to me. We love to sing Squire's song, He Came to Me. He came to me when I could not come to where He was. What did He do? He came to me. You know what He did for me? He came to me. You know what He did for you? He came to you. There was a night, there was a place, there was a day, there was a morning, there was a service, there was a kitchen table, there was a place somewhere where He came to you. He came to you. It's not that we seek after God. Why can we not seek after God? Because we're dead. God, the Holy Spirit, must begin to work. As He begins to work, He begins to draw. We begin to move. Amen? Why do we move? Because He's moving. In us. In us. Depravity has corrupted man's will, His word, and His walk. Let's look at His will. In verse 11, there is none that understandeth. That simply means that they have no understanding. Man is left without understanding. Now, can the spiritual man discern the things of the Spirit? I mean, the natural man discern the things of the Spirit of God? Isn't that what the Bible says? So the natural man cannot do that. The natural man cannot discern spiritual things. That's why we got so many crazy people in this world. They're natural and they're not discerning. Amen. They're not discerning. The word understanding means being able to put everything together. But when it says there's none that understands it, it means they can't put it together. That means man left to himself cannot put it together. Man left to himself doesn't have enough sense to put it together. Man left to himself cannot do it on his own. That's why we need a Savior. We cannot do it on our own. There is none that understandeth. Nobody connects the dots. I used to like to hear this fellow Dawkins. But he couldn't connect the dots. He recently died with cancer. He said, I just can't see God. I cannot see how there can be a God. I can't see this Christianity thing. I can't. But he was a smart man. But he was a dumb man. He was one of the smartest men who lived in our day and in our age, but he died and went to hell. Why? Because there's none that understand it. You think, well, I understand it. And I'm proud of myself. Let me tell you something. God's grace will humble you. Don't make you proud. I'm so thankful the Lord reached out to me, an old Mormon boy, who was headed straight to the pit of hell and gave me the truth. Oh, there is none that seeketh after God. None, listen to this. Oh, listen. None is an absolute negative. An absolute negative. None seeketh after God. You say, well, I sought Him. You sought Him after He began to work on you. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I believe in the preaching of the gospel. I don't believe anybody's saved apart from the gospel. I don't believe anybody can be born again apart from the word that is preached, the word that is taught, the word that is written, the word that is read. Dear friend, I believe it takes the word. I believe that.
Amen.
I do. There's none that seeketh after God, though. It means that man cannot seek after God. Why can man not seek after God? Because of his total depravity. He has an inability to do that. Why is it that two boys grow up in the same school, go to the same classes, like the same things, then go to a revival meeting? One of them is gloriously saved and the other one says, I don't believe a word of it and walks off. Why? Why? That's a good question, isn't it? Why is that? Why is that? Because the wind blows where it listeth. Amen? I don't understand those things. Don't try to tie me down. Forget that. I don't want to do that. Now, verse number 12. Romans chapter 3, verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have gone astray. All become unprofitable. They together. I like that idea there where it says they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. We like to use this verse a lot. All of our righteousnesses are as what?
Filthy rags.
So it fits right in with this in that they're unprofitable. The works of the unbeliever are useless, are they not? Does it do a man any good to, as far as eternity is concerned, to give to the salvation army and give to the different causes and all of that and hope to get to heaven by that? Absolutely not. Why? Because it's unprofitable. That means it means nothing. Let me tell you something. One of these days, the believer's going to have a judgment in heaven. One of these days, we'll be judge whether our works are good or they're bad, whether we get gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. But listen to me. The lost man has nothing. You know why? Because he doesn't have a foundation to build on. He's got no foundation. There's nothing there, none whatsoever. Man has no will to do right until God the Holy Spirit begins to work on him. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, do you believe with me that it takes the Holy Spirit of God?
Yes.
And God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. Amen? And fellas, I believe we ought to preach like everybody will be saved when we preach. I think we ought to preach with conviction. I believe we ought to preach with all our heart. We ought to preach knowing that not everybody will be, but some will. Some will be saved. So, total depravity has corrupted the will of man. Now, notice with me, if you would, in Romans 3, 13 and 14, depravity has corrupted man's words. His words are corrupted. In verse number 13, it says, their throat is an open sepulcher. Not long ago, down in Louisiana, there were some grave robbers. And they buried people above ground down there in South Louisiana where them Cajuns are, you know, where Landry and them, they chewed them alligators. You know about that, don't you? Yeah, man. I like them alligator hunters. Man, that's my people down there. You know, the Fayard. My name used to be Fayard de la Lancette. We cut the tail off. It got too hard to drag around like alligator tail. But anyway, they had some grave robbers. And what they were doing, they were pulling them caskets out, opening them caskets up, stealing stuff off folks. And you know what? It was an open sepulcher, and many of them people hadn't finished decaying. You imagine what it smelled like? That's the picture here. That's the picture here. Their throat is an open sepulcher. It's just so rotten, filthy, no good, good for nothing. Their throat is an open sepulcher. And their lips are filled with poison. For it says, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lip. Now, your tongue right now, your tongue is seated and is bathing in a pool of water. You know what? Every time I say that, it begins to pool up even more.
Amen.
You know what? Your tongue is set on fire of hell.
Yes,
and before you can speak, it has to get through the prison bars of your teeth and through the prison bars of your lips. The poison of asp is in it. You know, you can ruin a fella just by spreading some lies. You can do that. You can do that. And it happens. It happens. Boy, I almost got in a situation many, many years ago. Back in 1980, somebody was telling some stories about me. I mean, some lies. Absolute lies. And one of my good preacher friends, Brother Tom Fortner, called me and said, "Preacher, they're saying this about you." And what I did, I found out when they were going to be at a certain place and the situation, and I walked in on them. And the one they had been lying to was laying up in the bed, and I said to him, I said, "They've been lying to you." Then I looked at the boys, and I said, "Y'all been lying, haven't you?" He said, well, I said, "You lied, didn't you?" And oh, man, they began to sweat. They lied. And they had poisoned the pot. But that's depravity. That's what man does. He lies. He says ugly things about people, doesn't he? That's the depravity of man. That's what the world... Listen, you can't watch the TV without somebody cussing at you. You can't see anything. I mean, the songs and everything else is filthy. Why? Because the poison of asp is in their lips. That's what it is. It's terrible. And, oh, they talk about gaffes. Y'all heard that? These politicians, oh, he made a gaffe. He made a gaffe. You know what a gaffe is? A gaffe is when what's in the well comes up in the bucket.
Amen?
Amen? What's in the well is going to come up in the bucket. What's really down in you is going to come out. It's going to do it. And so you better keep good things down in the well, amen? Hey, I like sweet water. You know what I like? I like going to a place where they got spring water. You like artesian water? Man, I love artesian water. You know why? Because the source is higher than the outlet. That's what makes it artesian. And my water spiritually is higher than I. I go to the rock that is higher than I. Verse number 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. All that they have this cursing and they have this bitterness, and there's so many people who are bitter and so many families that are hurting because of bitterness. Bitterness means extreme wickedness, bitter gall. And that's why there's no hope for the lost man except the gospel. He said, what do you do, preacher? Preach the gospel and leave the saving to the Lord. That's His business. Let Him do the saving. We can all preach the gospel and let God do the work. Should we have compassion? Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Have compassion. I still believe the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. I still believe they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Don't you believe it? Amen. Amen. When I think about the mouth full of cursing and bitterness, I think about my own mouth before I was saved. How about you? Let's look at the last thing. The will, the word, now the walk, very quickly. Verse 15. Depravity has made man lame spiritually. It's affected his walk. Let's look at it quickly. Verse number 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Why is abortion such a tremendous plight and plague upon this country? Because they're swift to shed blood. They're quick to do that. Why do we have so many killings and murders? I just read a report from Detroit to where the officers there don't even, there are certain neighborhoods they don't even go into when they get a call to go there. Why? Because there are people there who are swift to shed blood. In New Orleans, Louisiana, there were 9 shootings in one night just recently. 9 shootings. 3 of them ended up in death. Listen, they're swift to shed blood. Why? Because of depravity. Oh, we got to get a better education system. We've got to give them more lunches. We've got to feed them breakfast and lunch and supper. We've got to do all of that for them. And if we lift them up, they'll get better. No, amillennialism. Postmillennialism. And I meant to say post. Postmillennialism is a lie. B.H. Carroll said, we'll just keep preaching, preaching, preaching. Things get better and better and better. But they're not. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. We live in those days. These last days. Whether it's killing with the gun or the knife or abortion, the result comes because of depravity. We need to understand that's the problem. Depravity is the problem. We're dealing with men who are dead. And they need life. And the only way they can have life, it's through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And then in verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. The word destruction here means that which is broken and shattered. Destruction and misery is in their way. I would say that in this auditorium this morning, the majority of the families here are some way affected by broken homes. Either their children, their grandchildren, the cousins, destruction and misery. Is this country in misery? It's miserable. And things are broken, aren't they? I don't believe we can fix it. If we don't fix it with the gospel. I have a Bible back on the table back there. It's a Pashto Bible. It's a Persian Bible. It's a Bible that Esther would have read. And I got a request from a soldier in Afghanistan, and the message came to me through channels because of its, listen, it's hard to understand, but he got the message to me and he said, look, you can't send it as a Bible. It's against the law for us to give a Muslim a Bible. We can't do that. So you'll have to send it some other way. So I sent it as food. Did I lie?
No!
Amen. Food for the soul. And we shipped that thing in there. And there's a Muslim over in Afghanistan who's reading that Persian Bible. But depravity is the problem. What? Our government says, go to Saudi Arabia, but you can't give them a Bible. Go to Iraq, but you can't evangelize them. Go to Afghanistan, but you can't see them saved. When MacArthur left Japan at the end of World War II, he said, send missionaries to Japan. What do we need to do? Because of depravity, we need missionaries. We need missions. We need to send the gospel across the wave. We need to be mission-minded. Oh, dear friends, depravity is a terrible thing. It's a Bible thing. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. But oh, friend, misery and hardship come because of depravity. Why? Because in verse number 18, it says there is no fear of God before their eyes. How are they going to come to fear God? Only by knowing Him. Only by knowing about Him. Only coming to see Him. We must preach Him. We must get the Word out about Him. We must publish it abroad. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight. For thou knowest not what evil may come upon the earth. What are we trying to do? We're casting the bread upon the water. We're getting the Bible on the water. We're giving out portions to seven, even to eight, because I don't know how much worse it can get, but it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And so we put a portion there. And the only way they'll know peace, because it says in verse 17, the way of peace they have not known. Only way people will ever know peace is to know the Prince of Peace. It's the only way. Oh, dear friends, these old doctrines won't hurt us. They'll help us see where man's at. And how man needs a Savior. And how we're dealing with dead people who need life. And the only way they can have life is through the bread of life. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Orton.